welcome to episode 13 of the Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. It's Aaron filling in for the Meat Beast, who's on location in Duluth. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And on my left, filling in the void left by the Meat Beast, would be our wonderful producer, Jive.
Hey, hey, hey.
So how's it going, boys?
Oh, you know, not too bad. Good week for the Wild.
Very good week, yeah. Mixed week for Minnesota hockey in general. We had some ups, we had some downs.
I had some more ups.
And more ups, but...
Is this basketball or what? Come on.
Well, maybe.
Maybe that's a double downer, I don't know.
Nope.
So, want to kick it off?
Yeah, why not? So it starts off where we kind of left off last Wednesday, with the Wild at Detroit. Wild won 4-2.
Yep, as we were wrapping up our episode last week, they were wrapping up the game, and yeah, it was a first win in Detroit in 7 years. Heck of a win, you know.
You know, they've kind of been on a tear with getting some of these losing streaks out of the way. You know, Vancouver, Detroit.
Yeah.
Dallas that we'll end up talking about coming up here shortly.
Yeah, I mean, it was 4 years since they've won in Vancouver, now 7 years in Detroit. So that's breaking some bad streaks in the past, and it's good to see the Wild continue their tear.
Yeah, no, I like it.
Yeah, so they followed up that win in Detroit by going back home facing the Sharks with another win, yet another two-point win for the Wild, which is becoming a bit of a pattern. They win by two, shutting out the Sharks. Backstrom getting a big, big win. 33 saves, no goals.
Yeah. Suter and Koivu both with assists on both those goals. I believe that they were opposite, 1 and 2, and then 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Koivu got first assist on the first goal. Suter got first assist on the second goal. Goals by Parisian Spurgeon. You know, good game. Really shoddy reffing.
Yeah, to say the least. It was just all over the place. Some calls they're making, some calls they weren't.
Let's see. The first penalty of the game was Konopka getting run into from behind as he was just kind of skating off to the bench, it looked like.
Right.
Like, I mean, not even heads up on the play. Dude runs into him from behind, and he falls over.
He gets called.
Flops like a freaking Forsberg, and Konopka gets called for an interference. He didn't even realize what had happened. All of a sudden, the ref is blowing a whistle at him, and he's... What's going on here?
Right.
He started chirping right away. Yeah, it not very good reffing at all. I was not impressed. It was just crappy all around. I think the Wild took the brunt of it at the beginning of the game.
Right.
I think they tried to start evening it out a little bit towards the second, but not a whole lot. So, yeah, they still got the win. They still got the shutout. You know, backs from 33 saves.
And we got to see our old friend Brent Burns, Mr. Grizzly Man, playing as a forward.
Playing as a forward, yes.
I don't know. He looked like he maybe cleaned himself up.
Oh, he did. He definitely did. He took a hacksaw out and chopped that bush down.
Maybe that came along with the new position, right?
Right. So, he's got to be a little bit faster, so he's got to cut down on wind resistance.
Right. Aerodynamics.
So you see another former Wild defenseman with quite the grizzly beard shaving anytime soon?
Would that be
Greg Zanin?
Zanin?
Colorado.
His beard is pretty massive. I can't imagine he'd be cutting at this point. I mean,
or is he just going to ZZ Top until he wins a cup? He's got playoff beard all year long.
That's a proposition I can get behind, you know?
Yeah.
If Zach Parise wants to grow a beard like that, I will wholly encourage that.
So what happens when, you know, his beard gets cut, like, in somebody's gear? How are they going to call that? Is it going to be like a bearding?
2 minutes, high bearding.
Oh, we kid.
So, on to some other news. Zucker, he got sent back down to Houston. I don't know. I think he's been a constant contributor, you know, when he's been up here.
Yeah, he got ran over by Corey Perry and was injured.
Yes.
Yep.
And lost his spot, and then PMB started playing like PMB should be.
Mm-hmm.
And Zucker lost his spot. He's not gonna They don't want to play on the fourth line because he's not going to get the time he needs.
Very true.
I mean, he needs power play experience. He needs to be getting that sort of time.
Absolutely.
And he's going to get it in Houston. He's not going to get it on the fourth line.
No, and that's part of the reasoning with sending Granlund back down, too, is because he was not getting the playing time on the lines he should be getting the playing time on. So let him get the experience and keep skating rather than, you know, getting cold.
Right. It makes sense to just when you see someone so promising, it's disappointing, but it's hard to argue with the results we're getting. So
you're
a little upset about it, but you get over it pretty quick. So,
you know, and it's nice having Rupp back in the lineup, too. Just, and in case something happens.
That was part of the reason of setting Zucker down is because Rupp was coming back. And
that also brings us into, I mean, when you want to talk about the goalie situation, they also brought Kemper back up and Hackett went back down to Houston. So I'm pretty sure that's so, you know, those goalies don't get stale sitting on the bench and they're getting some playing time and keeping their legs.
Backstrom, he hasn't been sitting now for a ton of games.
And we got two upcoming games. We got a back-to-back Friday-Saturday game. So
one of them is probably going to end up playing.
Right.
Yeah.
More than likely Kemper at this point.
Well, the thought is they might call Hackett back up. The thought is they might be sending him down to play a game so he gets refreshed, and they'll bring him back up. And Houston is pretty close to Dallas.
You know, I think Russo had mentioned that. You know, with the back-to-back, keep Backstrom strong back home. Let him stay home and rest up for the game against the Kings.
Right.
Go down with no goalie or your backup goalie and play Kemper and Hackett just so Backstrom can finally get a rest.
Right.
Which, I mean, hey, that makes sense. And it's not like Hackett or Kemper are bad goalies.
No. I mean, they're definitely going to be our future goalies along with Gustafson, I think.
That sounds about right.
So it's like we've got a young, talented core.
Yeah. All right. So with that, speaking of goalies and Backstrom, Backstrom was named number 2 star of the week for the week ending March 24th. So last week, you know, he's doing a phenomenal job. He had that shutout in that week. He had few other, you know.
Yeah, definitely, you know, when all the Wild scoring isn't there, he has definitely done his part to, you know, keep the pucks out of the net, basically, you know, doing his job.
So, yeah, congratulations to Nick Backstrom, number 2 star of the week, ending March 24th.
All right, and that brings us on to the Wild and the Stars game. Pretty exciting game. It's a great watch for any fan.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of scoring, plenty of action, and so it all went on. And I know that we had Parisi had a couple goals in there.
Yeah, Parisi had a pair.
Cullen.
They spread the scoring around pretty well for the game.
Yep.
I think Parisi was the only one that had multiple goals. Multiple point games for a few players.
Yeah.
Yep.
Quite a few. But
Cullen got his 200th.
200th.
Yeah.
He's the, ninth
Minnesota
to reach that level. And his teammate, Parisi, actually is right above the list on the all-time scorer Minnesota.
208?
Yeah, 208.
It was after that game?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Very nice.
But, yeah, Clutterbuck had a pair of helpers, Koivu goal, an assist. Yeah, the love was definitely getting shared that game.
And Clutterbuck even had one of his helpers was on that the first shorthand goal of the season for the Wild.
So. It was made by Danny Heatley. Kyle Brodziak.
Yeah.
And at that same time, did he run into the net and –
That was after he came back.
Oh, okay.
That was after he came back from running the net.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so definitely it looked a little hairy because he wanted to be helped off, or maybe didn't want it, but he needed to be helped off the ice after colliding with the net, and then he comes back and gets – I mean, honestly, the goal by Brodziak, it may have gone in on its own, But Brodziak just gave it a little extra push.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's still a goal. So
it still went in, and it was still shorthanded. But, I mean, you know, I don't know if we had talked about this on last week's show, but I know Aaron and I, we have talked about this. Clutterbuck's been on a lot of those shorthanded opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
Whether, you know, he's the one shooting them or he's the one setting up the opportunities. He's been a phenomenal penalty kill player.
There's been a few times where it's like you feel he's so close to getting a shorty, and it rings off a pipe, or it just, you know, the goalie makes a great save. So there's been a few chances for Clutterbuck. It's just it hasn't happened.
Well, that's the thing. He's that scrappy player. He keeps digging.
And, he forces turnovers too.
And basically, he makes his own opportunities. Basically,
oh yeah,
he does. And I like seeing Clutterbuck on the penalty kill. Definitely awesome guy, very tenacious.
We should also note that they did score a season high of 7 goals.
Yeah, right? Yep,
they did.
And I really have to say that those 7 goals were nice to back up Mr. Backstrom. You know, he wasn't having
a little less than the greatest night,
but
a little,
you know,
less than stellar.
Yep,
you know,
yeah.
And it was actually is a back and forth because it was. Stars went up 1-0, Wild tied him up.
Yep.
2-1 Stars, 2-2 tie. 3-2 Stars, 3-3 tie.
Then the 4-3 Wild, right?
4-3 Stars. Stars had the lead.
They never lost it in there?
No, not until they got to 5.
Yep.
The Wild finally took them over,
yep.
I think.
Yeah, Dallas, Minnesota, Dallas, Minnesota, Dallas, Minnesota, Minnesota, Dallas.
Okay.
Minnesota, Minnesota, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was up through 3.
Went up 4-3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it was back and forth for the first 2 periods, and then finally the Wild started to get some distance there in the third.
You know, there's a lot of records that night and a lot of honorees. Daryl Sutter was honored by the Stars before the game as part of the Stars 20th anniversary team.
20th anniversary.
In Texas.
Boo.
Which, yeah. That's almost like, you know, maybe that's why they finally broke their 16-game
right.
losing streak. Like, really? You're going to honor our
coach? I figure they're honoring him just to try to ice Backstrom, because last time there was a honoree thing like this before the game.
Oh, yeah.
That Backstrom got blown away.
Backstrom does not play well with the honorees. It's like he gets cold sitting out there waiting
right.
for the game to start.
So, but... And he gave up a ton of goals. I mean, he gave up 4 goals. So, but he still had his offense just firing away.
But yeah, that was their first win in regulation since 2002?
2003.
2003?
10 yeah. years.
Wow.
A decade.
Damn.
So I saw a good thing on Reddit. It had been 4 years since the Wild won in Vancouver. It's been 7 years since the Wild have won in Detroit. So 3 years difference, right?
Yep.
It's been 10 years since the Wild have won in Dallas. Another 3 years. The Wild have been around for 13 years. What have they never done in 13 years?
Won a cup.
So it's about time.
It's about time.
Yeah.
We'll see if that happens, you know, maybe.
Well, they're definitely working on it. I mean, that kind of brings us into the next section maybe here.
Yeah, so the Wild are definitely starting to climb the power rankings. depending on which network you look at, it's actually pretty crazy. I was going through this before the game, and, Sports Illustrated lists the Wild at number 4 in the NHL. Fox lists them at number 5. ESPN lists them at number 6. CBS lists them at number 7. NHL.com lists them at number 8. They're all improvements. If you look at their numbers, they're all improvements for the previous week. Because I think even like NHL.com had them at 10, and now they're up to 8. So all of them are moving them up. But it's pretty crazy that they're all so spread out. I guess the average on that is 6. So, you know.
Which I think is about where they're sitting nationwide. For points.
Yeah, I mean, it would be hard to place them above third because you figure you got Chicago and Anaheim in the West that have been, you know, those are the 2 teams that have really beat the Wild.
Juggernauts.
Yeah, they've been destroying everyone. I mean, I know Anaheim's had a little bit of a sag here last week or so, but So it'd be hard to place him above third,
yeah.
Really. And you got Pittsburgh in the East, who's just destroying everyone.
13 games in a row right now.
Right. I mean,
Pittsburgh who?
Yeah. Boston's sitting at 45 points.
Yeah, they're up there too, yeah.
They kind of have a log jam, ironically, between, well, minus one. Forget Pittsburgh at number one, but between Boston at number two going down to Toronto, it's kind of a log jam between 40 and 45 points.
I'm not going to begrudge them not being higher, but they're definitely getting a little more attention on a national level.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and, right now they just tied the last time a team has won six games in a row with a two or more goal lead was Boston back in 2008.
Right. And I think they'll tie Boston if they can win tonight by two goals. They're playing Phoenix right now behind us on the big screen. And Currently it's tied up after two. So we'll see if the Wild can scrap back here.
2-2 after two.
You got to say, it's nice to see some of the offense around here. I know with Jacques Lemaire, we had plenty of defense going on. We were great on that side. But it's nice to see some goals getting put in the net, you know.
Oh, no doubt.
They're peppering these goalies. I mean, what was it? Which game did they have? Like, yeah,
the Stars game. That was another thing. They sent them 46, I thought.
46.
They set another franchise record tied a franchise 42. Right, 42.
Yeah.
Tied that record with most shots on goal.
So yeah, and I mean, it's nice to see them putting the offense on because it's just something that's kind of been lacking.
We haven't been able to see it as Wild fans. Right. We've definitely seen a defensive game. And, you know, if you look at this team right now, there are so few players that are around that even played under Lemaire.
Oh, yeah.
What did we figure out? Four?
Yeah, you got PMB, you got Clutterbuck, you got Koivu, Backstrom. I think Harding might be in that team.
Yeah, Harding might be in there, but he's out right now.
Right.
As far as skaters go,
yeah, that's it.
Clutterbuck, PMB, Koivu.
Backstrom, four.
Backstrom, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So there's not much there as far as people that are going to be holding on to the Lemaire style. So right. It's not a bad thing.
I'm going to guess that the ones that are still around have adapted to the to the new style.
We know Koivu is good, and we know Clutterbuck is going to be good. I think PMB, I think he's kind of struggled, but he's also struggled with the head injury. So
very true.
You know,
he had a fairly solid. He's been playing solid. He has. Couple of weeks. You know, definitely picking up his game the way he should be playing.
Right, right.
So, all right. Well, you know, what else we got, Aaron?
So with the increased power rankings, we're seeing some buzz, some possible trophy talk with Suter. Getting some buzz about being a possible Norris Trophy candidate, as well as Brodin possibly being a Calder Cup candidate. You could argue that they're actually probably the best defensive pair in the NHL right now.
Absolutely. Suter, awesome heads up on the ice. I mean, he knows where the puck's going to be before the puck even knows how it's getting hit off the opponent's stick.
And you see Brodin, he stays cool. He doesn't get, you know, bothered.
That kid is like a sponge.
And, yeah. And you say kid, isn't he?
He's 19.
19 years old? Yeah. I mean, wow.
19 years old.
You can only imagine in the future what it holds, you know?
He's like a sponge, though, soaking up what Suter's been teaching him.
He's basically becoming the Suter that Suter was to Shea Weber.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Suter stepped up and is now Shea Weber.
I really, really hope to see these guys playing together for the next, foreseeable future.
At least the next 13 years.
At least the next 13 years. Those two gelled pretty quick. I think, our top defensive pairing has gelled a lot faster than our top offensive line.
Right. No, that's true. And it's actually kind of surprising considering how, I don't want to say down, but how skeptical many people were going to be about our defensive situation. We still don't have a ton of depth.
We don't.
You know, but when Suter and Brodin are playing half an hour a game, you don't need a whole lot of depth.
Very true.
You know?
They're getting a lot of that ice time.
Yeah.
Isn't Brodin like number three in ice time or number four in ice time for defensive?
I think he's topping as far as rookies go. So.
Oh, he has to be. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Because I think the only other defenseman that might be getting more ice time, well, Suter.
Suter is like one or two, yeah.
Suter's one or two, and I think I think it was a Penguins player that was getting more.
Yeah, I think they've been flip-flopping depending on the game, you know.
Right.
And even, you know, they provide a little bit of offense for us,
oh,
which is awesome.
Brody's stepping up, and he's shooting the puck. Suter's been getting his assists.
Oh, yeah. And but you look at the other end, we're not letting in that many goals per game, you know, on average. So that means they're holding up their end of the bargain on both ends of the ice.
Well, you see them. You see them rushing into the zone, and they'll drive to the net. But then they're definitely aware, and they get back to the blue line.
Yep.
And there's been very few times they've been caught flat-footed, and we've had actual proper breakaways with them being deep in the offensive zone.
I've seen veteran defensive players that you do not want to see down in the opposite corner
right,
scrambling for a puck. And Brodin, as a rookie, I actually trust his ability to be down there. You know,
yeah.
If it's him and Suter on the ice and offensive line is changing and Suter slaps it in and Brodin goes down after it or vice versa, I have faith that those guys are not going to let the other team go on a breakaway.
Right.
That's a pretty bold statement to say about defensive end.
It's definitely been a joy to watch. There's no doubt about that.
So, all right, that was last week's games and last week's news. Coming up Friday, we have the Wild at the Star at Dallas again.
Yeah, it's a really weird scheduling. They can play Monday in Dallas, come home, and then go back to Dallas on Friday.
Bookend the week with it, I guess,
right.
With Phoenix in the middle. I wonder how Phoenix likes being the meat in the Dallas sandwich. But definitely some road trips between here and Texas with the Wild. And then we had briefly mentioned it, but back-to-back games. So on Saturday, Wild are back at home playing against the L.A. Kings.
That's going to be a tough one. I mean, let alone do you have a back-to-back, it's a home and away back-to-back. That's going to be a tough one.
You know, at least, you know, flight to Dallas, 3 hours, 3.5 hours.
Right.
I've flown it a few times.
Right, but it's not an early game, so it's like they're going to be getting in and out pretty late.
Yeah. And I don't even see what time is the game on Saturday.
I think it's a late game again.
All right. And then have a day off on Sunday. Monday they are playing the Blues here. So they at least get to be home for a few days. But it should be an interesting week.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So that brings us into our predictions segment of the show here. Let's just go over last week's picks. We're going to kind of pick this up here, and we're going to kind of keep a little running tally here and have a little friendly competition among us. So Aaron's picks last week, he picked us to beat both the Sharks and the Stars, and he was absolutely correct on that. So he goes 2-0 on the week, and then Meat Beast, we're not sure what he picked, man. He was a little juiced from that, what was that wormwood
Malort?
Stuff that we had last week?
That was Malort.
Yeah, it made for quite the interesting show, I must say. And then we're going to go on to Kenny. He picked the Sharks to be a loss for the Wild. But then
beat the Sharks, lose
oh,
to the
beat,
Stars.
Beating the Sharks and losing to the Stars. Okay, now we got you.
He's looking for a split.
Yeah.
He did get it.
So he's going to go and split himself 1-1 on the week. And then myself, I had them pick to beat the Sharks and the Stars. I did say the Stars and that they would have to beat the Stars in an overtime shootout.
And you know, looking at their history, it wouldn't be surprising, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But nonetheless, I said they'd win, so I get to go 2-0 on the week.
So this upcoming week, as we said, they're playing the Stars in Dallas and then home at two home games against the Blues and the Kings. I'm going to go with the Wild winning versus the Stars and the Kings, and then losing to the Blues on Monday, ending the streak if they don't continue it tonight.
All right, and I think my picks, I think it's going to be a close loss versus the Stars. I think it's going to be a loss in general, but I think it's either going to be a one-point game, well, shootout overtime or one-point game. I think it's definitely going to be close, but the Stars, I think, are going to want a little redemption. And then I think they're going to beat the Kings and then beat the Blues in OT.
Oh. So basically wins at home, loss on the road.
Yep. They've got a pretty good home record going right now.
Yeah.
Jive, what you got?
Well, for me, I'm going to have to go with them beating the Stars again there. We're about to start a whole new...
new era in Minnesota hockey.
Yeah, we're going down there and we're going to whoop them every time. So I'm going to go with the win against the Stars and the Kings. And then, but the Blues are going to come in here, and it's going to be a tight game. But I think that the Wild might fall to them.
All right,
Ken Hitchcock, man, he knows
Ken
his stuff.
You know, that guy can turn a team around like no other.
And the Blues they do have a winning record on the road on the season. So, if anyone's going to beat the Wild at home, the Blues are a good candidate. You know.
Yeah.
So, college hockey, a lot of good, a lot of bad, some more good. For Minnesota college hockey, first off, the men's team got knocked out of the WCHA Final Five by Colorado College. Not really all that much of an upset. In fact, all four teams in the WCHA that were guaranteed playoff spots all got knocked out.
Oh, and like I told you, I know we were talking about this off the air, but. You know, I was thinking the Gophers wanted to play UND and not face CC because I feel they've had problems with CC this season.
Yeah.
And so it's only fitting that they got knocked out by CC. And CC went to the you know.
Sometimes a team just has your number.
CC CC ended up getting beat by Wisconsin.
True.
For the WCHA championship.
True.
Red Baron, WCHA championship game.
Red Baron, are we being sponsored out here or what?
No, that's just...
Sponsored by Brando.
It's got electrolytes.
It's what plants crave.
All right. So, yeah, they're going into the playoffs as the number two seed. Their first game is Friday versus Yale. Speaking of North Dakota, though, they are also in that same... the semifinals bracket,
right?
Or finals, semifinals bracket as the Gophers.
First round.
Thank you. Regionals.
Second round. So yeah, it goes first round, second round, semifinals, championship. So quarterfinals, maybe.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
So
there's a possibility they could face each other in the second round.
They ended up smoking North Dakota though at the first round of the WCHA championship.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, and. So there's a possible matchup in the NCAAs with them, assuming the Gophers can get past Yale. Yale's 18-12-3, so a little bit lackluster record compared to the Gophers, but the Gophers are number two.
You know,
so.
That brings up a question, though. So the Gophers, some polls have met number two, some have met number one. They're going into the championship bracket as the number two seed.
Right.
Quinnipiac, our lovely team that we like trying to announce and pronounce, is going in as a number one seed. Aaron, you and I had kind of did some research on them, kind of seen who else they were playing with.
Right.
It did not look like their competition was very tough.
It's a lot of Ivy League teams, you know, but that's not a slam against them. I mean,
no.
But, you know.
I think they're gonna have issues. They got Boston College in their region, their regional.
Right.
I don't see them making it past that second round. I think BC is gonna end up taking out Union and then Quinnipiac right after that. I don't know if that was the goal. Anyways, so I don't know your thoughts. You think they're actually a number one rated team that's gonna make it? When?
I'm thinking BC's going to be the one to watch. I mean, they're the reigning champions. I mean, what's more to say?
Yeah. So
whoever has the hot goaltender.
That's really it. And you can make that argument that the Gophers don't really have a, you know, Wilcox hasn't been nearly as sharp as he was earlier in the
season.
Not
at the beginning of the season. So, the Gophers women, however,
woo!
We get Jive talking with us and he forgets to hit his cues.
Yeah, I forgot my buttons.
Yeah, that's all right. The Gophers women, though, ended up taking the championship on Sunday, beating Boston University 6-3.
Yep, first team NCAA team to go undefeated since 1971, I believe.
Yeah, 41-0-0.
Yes.
Wow. No pressure.
With back-to-back championships, and I think they're at, what, a 48 or 49-game winning streak?
Yeah, because it spanned in the last season.
So, congratulations to the women. Nora Roddy. Or as the commentator and the play-by-play were calling her, Nora Rada.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
I think I'm pretty sure it's Roddy, though.
Well, aside from Murray, you also had Amanda Kessel, who's just been...
Amanda Kessel is on fire.
I know I've seen people post online that they're hoping... Toronto will trade Phil Kessel for Amanda Kessel.
You know, at this point, they might want to.
Yeah.
Can she keep her brother's number?
Well, I don't see why not.
Yeah, why not?
Same jersey.
Well, that would just, you know. Well, no,
cost savings.
Yeah, but marketing is going to want her to grab a new number.
Probably.
So, yeah, congratulations to the women.
It's probably worth mentioning, too, that, you know, even in Minnesota, having the finale here in Minnesota, they couldn't even get any love and get televised. I mean, what's going on there?
See, that was at work, so I was watching the game streaming.
Okay.
But that's
the only way that people were able to watch it. Was if they
that is pretty sad.
It is.
And it was at Ritter Arena. You've got, you know, the men's hockey. You've got just the WCHA Final Five, fill in the X. Then, when they have the Western Regionals here,
right,
fill in the X. And the women, they put at a, what, 10,000 capacity?
It's not even that.
8,000?
Yeah.
Arena?
Ritter's kind of small, I think. Yeah. So,
but, they actually almost lost it to BC on Friday with an overtime win. But,
it's only the second time in their stretch here that they've been brought to overtime.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the pressure, though, of, you know, being that close to ending your streak? And do you want to
especially
end a championship?
Do you want
it to end there? Yeah.
Do you want it to
win?
When
you get down to that one and done point, you know, I mean, geez.
Just a check back. Ritter is their capacities.
That's it. Wow.
You'd have to figure if they had televised that, they'd have way more than 2,100 people watching.
Yeah,
probably.
Very true.
Well, all right. So I think it's about time we get to our picks of the week, our players of the week. Last week, I went with Mikko Koivu. He had two goals and assist. Jive had Suter. But Kenny's the big winner, picking Devin Setoguchi. He got bonus points. He got bonus points because I voted for Setoguchi on top of him because that was just such a brilliant pick. It's hard not to choose that. So with that being said, I am the loser this week with zero votes. So I'm going to pick Zach Parise for this week. He had 3 goals, 2 assists.
Easy win. Come on.
Easy.
Man.
But, I mean, there's a ton of scoring this week. It's, you know, you could have picked a dozen players, and they'd all have legitimate excuses for why they'd be deserving of that pick.
So, Jive, I think that puts it on you.
On to my pick? Well, you know, I could go and copy you just like I did during the picks for our games, you know. But, you know, that's all right. I'm going to mix it up here a little bit, and I'm going to go with Backstrom. I mean, maybe even more than just this week, he's just been a solid goaltender for us. You know, he's been doing his job back there, stopping the pucks. And I mean, it was even mentioned earlier that, you know, he is the one of the players of the week. Wasn't that what you brought up earlier, Kenny?
Yeah, he was
the number 2 star of the week.
Number 2 star of the week for NHL.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a great accomplishment. He had the shutout in there. I mean, what more can you ask for from a guy, you know?
Oh, yeah. And he even stopped a penalty shot, too.
Right, yep.
Yeah, that was, like, early on in the game, was it? Like a minute and a half in or not even?
Yeah, it was early on.
That was one of the other BS calls. That was a San Jose game.
Right, right.
Yeah, so definitely I'm going to go with Backstrom because, you know, we've been climbing on his back and riding that for a little while here, aside from that nice breakout game there against Dallas where we had a lot of offense.
Well, I'm going to go with, according to what I just typed, Spudgian. But I'm going to go with Spurgeon. You know, he in the three games that we just talked about, he had 4 points in it. He had 3 assists. He had a goal, second goal against San Jose during the San Jose game. A pair of helpers against Dallas.
He's been really solid in the second D line. You know, because he's getting less time than Brodin and Suter. Him and Stoner have been just pretty damn good. So,
you know, and I kind of like that pairing. He's got a hell of a shot on him, man.
Oh yeah.
For a little guy, he's got an amazing slap shot. And I do like the fact that they pair him up with Stoner. So you got kind of just this, you know, bigger dude with a little guy. And it kind of looks like Laurel Hardy at times, but they click. I like him.
All right.
So Kenny's pick is in the book with Mr. Spurgeon.
Mr. Spurgeon.
And Meat Beast, that pick will go unanswered this week. He'll be back in the studio next week.
After his trip from Des Moines.
Where's he out on assignment to? Des Moines?
Duluth.
Duluth, okay.
Yeah.
I was hoping we're all going to say something different.
He's somewhere.
He's visiting Kenny's Beavers.
So with that, I think this wraps it up. As I said, my name is Aaron. You can reach me on Twitter at AaronGNP, and you can check out my band at pinrot.com.
Actually, I think it's kind of a Pinrot meets Three in the Box podcast.
It is. It totally is.
So, wow, somebody should hire that band that does that intro stuff. My name's Kenny. You can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999.
And this is Jive, and you can follow me on Twitter, Jive Midnight.
And according to our script right now, Josh has to say the final goodbye, but he's not here.
So,
Mr. Meat Beast, where are you at?
With that, we'll bid you adieu. Have a great night. See you next week.
All righty, folks.
Good night, kids.
Hello.